Our sermon text this morning comes from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verses 8 to 15. Romans 1, verses 8 through 15. This is the very word of God. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Amen. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our just and merciful Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word to our hearts. May you send your spirit to mediate your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Help us, Father, to hear and to understand and to heed your word. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we often hear about how we need to show the love of Christ to others. And that's very true, we do. Now consider that Paul is an apostle. That means that he's called to speak and to act on behalf of Christ. If anyone is called to show the love of Christ to others, it's Paul, Christ's own chosen ambassador. Well, here in our passage, as Paul expresses his love for the Romans, what we're really seeing is Christ's own love for us, the church. And this too is the love that we are called to show others. So the main point of our sermon this morning is this. In Romans 1, 8 to 15, Paul expresses Christ's own love for the church. And this love ought to be seen in us. In order to see this from our passage this morning, we'll have two main points. First, Christ's love for the church. And second, Christ's goal for the church. So Christ's love for the church and Christ's goal for the church. So let's begin by looking at Christ's love for the church, which begins with Christ's thankfulness for the church's witness. In verse 8, Paul is thankful for the church in Rome. Why? Because their faith is proclaimed all over the world. Well, why is it such a big deal that there are believers in Rome? Well, because Rome is the heart of the empire, the belly of the beast, if you will, the apex of the world. This is an encouragement. This would have been a great encouragement to the saints throughout the rest of the world who heard that there are also saints even in Rome. An analogy might be if we were to hear of saints who are persevering in some Muslim country, say Saudi Arabia, maybe even in Mecca itself. Imagine to hear about a church persevering and struggling in their faith and bearing witness in Mecca. Well, that's what it would have been like for the saints, say, in Jerusalem, to hear about there being a strong church built and thriving in the very heart of the empire in Rome. Well, in a similar way, Christ is also pleased with the testimony of the church. That's us that hopes in him. This was predicted by Isaiah, who says in Isaiah 53, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear the iniquities. The offspring that it says that Christ will see is us, the church. We are the ones whom Christ has made righteous because he has carried our sins all the way to the cross. And friends, he is satisfied with his work on our behalf. When he looks upon his church and considers his own death on the cross that he suffered through, he looks at us and he says, it was all worth it. Think about that. That's why Hebrews 12 says that Jesus endured the cross. Why? For the joy set before him. His joy is in seeing us being saved and in growing in obedience and in one day living with him forever in glory in the age to come. So Christ thanks God for the church's testimony in the midst of sinful humanity, even as Paul thanked God for the testimony of the church in Rome at the heart of the Roman Empire. Well, God, Christ's love for the church is further seen in his prayers for us. In verse 9, Paul says that he prays without ceasing for the saints in Rome. Well, did you know that so too, Christ is also in heaven praying even now for us? While he was still on earth, he prayed for us in John 17, some of which says this, I do not ask for these only, referring to his disciples. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. He prayed, not just for his disciples, but also for us, who would come to believe through the testimony of those very disciples, which is recorded for us to this day in Holy Scripture. And he prays for unity with him and each other. Now, the fact is that Paul died. But, as the author to Hebrews says, Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. That's in Hebrews 7:25. When it comes to the church and Christ, there is no till death do us part, because in glory there will be no dying and there will be no parting forever. Christ's prayer for us will be answered in full. In verse 10, Paul says that he asks God to allow him to visit the saints in Rome. So Paul's eagerness, he's very eager to visit Rome, isn't he? In verse 10 he says, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now, at last, succeed in coming to you. He really wants to make it happen. And he seems to have been waiting a long time for it to do so. And then again in the first part of verse 13 he says, I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented. Paul is very, very eager. He longs to visit the saints in Rome. Saints which, by the way, he had never met. Well, Paul's eagerness mirrors Christ's own eagerness. Do you long for Christ's return? Are you weary of waiting? Well, Christ is perfectly righteous. Christ perfectly submits to his Father's will. But this does not mean that he wants to be separated from his church. No man wants to be separated from his bride. He, consequently, has to exercise patience as he waits to be united with us, just as we have to be patient as we wait in hope for his coming. So this here is part of how Christ prays for us. that our separation would end and that we could be at last together, never to part ever again. This is a picture of Christ's own love for the church. So then let's move on to examine what's Christ's goal for the church. And our key question here is, what does Christ want for us? Well, Christ wants His church to be strengthened. See, Paul wants to strengthen the Roman saints. In verse 11, why does he long to see them? He says in verse 11, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. He wants to serve them. He wants to cultivate in them the blessings of the Holy Spirit. His only desire is that they would be strengthened. He's looking out for their best interests. In the same way, Christ wants us to be strengthened with His presence. This is why He sent His Spirit to us, to make Him present to our hearts. Christ is present with us by His Spirit, and this is our strength, so that now we can say, God is my refuge, and God is my strength. Because this very God dwells in us, empowers us, and strengthens us to grow in grace and in faith and obedience, that we might bear testimony to His glory in a dying world. And His presence among us is especially realized in the preaching of the Word, and in baptism, and in the Lord's Supper, thanks to the Holy Spirit's work through these means of grace. But this strengthening is through mutual encouragement. As in verse 12, Paul wants to visit the church in Rome so that they might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. This is what Christ wants for His church. Why do we gather together every Lord's Day? Why don't we just sit at home and go in the prayer closet and read our Bibles by ourselves? Why? Because we need each other. The entire body needs the rest of the body. Listen again to what Jesus said in His high priestly prayer in John 17. Verse 21, He says, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. Why does He want us to be united? Why does He want us to be growing together, that we might bear witness to a dying world, bear witness to His glory, that the world may believe through our testimony that Jesus really has come from the Father. So how do we testify to our faith in Christ? By gathering together, by uniting together, by growing together and encouraging one another and building one another up in Christ. This is how we testify to our faith in Christ. And this is the very testimony that Christ is grateful for to His Father. Because believe it or not, this testimony is seen in us. Do you long for this gathering throughout the week? Do you miss being with the other saints when we are apart? Or do you see coming to church as a duty? Does your wife or your parents have to drag you to church kicking and screaming? Christ is looking for fruit among us, just as Paul is looking for a harvest among the saints in Rome. He wants to see converts, yes, but He longs for our strengthening, our growth in grace and in faith. He longs for us to grow in our love for one another. And He wants us to be better witnesses. He wants us to strive for the obedience that flows from faith. Just as Paul is grateful for the testimony of the saints in Rome, we should be grateful for one another's testimony. When is the last time you thanked God for your brothers and sisters that gather together with you every Sunday in your own church? When's the last time you thanked God for them, for their testimony, for their righteousness, for their example that they set to you? This is why we sing hymns together, so that we might hear each other sing, hear each other confessing the things of God, and encourage one another. That's the whole point of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for us, wants us to grow in our faith in Him, and so to grow in our gratitude to Him, that we might long to grow in obedience, that we might long for fruit in ourselves, even as Paul longs for a harvest in Rome. Furthermore, Christ wants us to understand ourselves as being obligated to one another. As Paul said, he's obligated to Greeks and barbarians, wise and foolish, meaning everybody. This is how he explains why he's concerned for a bunch of Christians he's never met in Rome. There are other Christians that we have never met who are very close to us, aren't there? And most of us have no contact with them at all. Rather than longing to see other Christians, to encourage them and to strengthen them, we're often suspicious of them, wary of them, aren't we? There are other churches, even just in our own denomination, that are close enough to drive to visit on a given Lord's Day. We are obligated to these people. Consider the church in Bend, just over the hill, a couple hours drive away, but they are suffering greatly, having recently lost several families with no explanation. Seven families in one church. Even in this church, that would be a big blow, but that church is much smaller. Have you considered visiting this church to strengthen them? What an encouragement your visit would be. Or the church in Roseburg, just recently particularized, excited about being a church, excited about gathering together to hear the word of the Lord. What an encouragement to you a visit to them would be. Or the church in Newburgh is very close, only about an hour and a half away or so. And they love to have visitors. Some of these are kind of far. And I'm not saying go every Sunday, but once in a while, go visit another OPC. Your visit would be such an encouragement to them. Do you long to see them as Paul longs to see these strangers, these fellow Christians in Rome? Are you eager to see them? Do you really count them as your brothers in Christ? Well, Paul is eager to go and minister to the church in Rome, even as Christ is eager to come and minister to us. May we too be eager to minister to one another. May we long for it, and may we savor it when we have the opportunity to do so, to the glory of God alone. Amen. Let's pray. Our just and merciful Father, we thank you so much for reconciling us to yourself in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the glory of your word and for revealing your own love for us through Paul's love to the Romans. We thank you, Father, for exhibiting this love for us and putting it on display and making it concrete rather than abstract, so that we might see it and examine it and understand it, so that we might understand how personal Christ's love is for us. We ask, Father, that you would help us to see this love, and may this love be reflected in us. May this love overflow from us. Help us to grow in love for one another and for our fellow saints who live in other parts of the state, Father, and in other parts of the world. Help us, Father, to grow in this as we hope in Jesus Christ, our only hope of righteousness. Amen.